I think without a doubt, the most difficult thing a mom does is let go. It's certainly not a desire to let go of her son, but it needs to be a willingness, almost a game face, that her job is to let go of her son.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we have special guest Rosemary Barnes. You're reenacting sort of this crying, or...
Can I just ask a question? Why I'm here every week and she's a special guest, and I'm just the schlub that's here. I'm
No, we have the constant guest.
We have Bob Barnes, but yeah, you're the old mundane guest, and we have the special guest, Rosemary Barnes. Wow.
Oh,
brutal.
Boy. But it's sort of remembering, I guess, the pain you went through.
Oh, wow. Yes. You know, I want to say that if I could have handpicked Roby's wife, it would have been Rebecca. She is just perfect for him. She's perfect as a pastor's wife.
Can I say, and this would make my son crazy if he ever listened to this broadcast, that there's a reason why she's the perfect one, and I agree, is because she is so similar to Rosemary. It's astounding.
Awesome.
To me, yes.
Oh, but anyway, with that little beginning, because I thought, oh, any woman he brings in, seriously, I'm just going to loathe her. And there was just not a thing I could find I just even disliked about Rebecca. She's a wonderful woman. But I want to say that those months after their wedding were perhaps one of the most painful seasons of my life, because he was doing exactly what the Bible mandates, which is leave and cleave. He was making his wife be his number one woman. And as much as I loved her, and as much as I knew it was right, as much as I knew it was biblical, it was one of the most painful times of my life.
We watched him become more mature than us. He's the senior pastor of an awesome church here in South Florida, an awesome church. And we watched him right after the wedding sit us down.
Wow.
And say that, you know, I have this, this, and this. We're an incredibly close family. I'm married to Rebecca now. She's number one. It is my priority. It won't be ever again like it was. And I just need to have this conversation with you guys because we're so unbelievably close. Mm-hmm. He's a leader with a heart and he gets it. But he thought through it. And I thought, my goodness, I'm being lectured by my son. And the painful thing is he's absolutely right on everything he's saying.
Rosemary's sobbing.
Yes. Well, I just thought we had another child to our home. Let's all be together all the time. Oh, no. And we knew. I think this is the hard one, and God had to actually say it. In the marriage vows, they are challenged that he gives us in Genesis 2. He says, the man shall leave his father and mother. Mm-hmm. He shall leave that. And so the picture God gives is this incredible ongoing process from birth on of the emancipation. There's 9 months when their mother and child are one body. They're absolutely one body. And even in the adoption process or whatever else it is, there's still going to need to be an emancipation. And then there goes from the umbilical cord is cut, but then the nursing process is cut. Mm-hmm. And slowly, and I remember, we have pictures of you his first day of school when you took him to kindergarten. And there's one picture that's hilarious because there's one picture where Tori is standing outside the front door, 3 years older, Tori. And it's almost like she's taking him to kindergarten. She's not. She's got her lunchbox, and she's in second grade, and he's in kindergarten. But you're in incredible pain, weeping once again, and Tori's walking him out to the car like she's taken over in helping mom emancipate him. These are all the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be pain, but it's supposed to happen.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so painful, because if it were wrong, you could kind of think, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But because it's biblical, and because it's right, and because it's mandated by God, that makes it especially painful, because why should something right hurt so much? Mm. But it just does. It's just part of the process.
Whether it's public school, Christian school, or homeschool, her process is an ongoing, continual emancipating both children, but even more for the boy, for that boy child that mom is so close to. Her boy child, and letting him get more and more independent in his decision making, because it'll make him be a leader. But no one prepares her for the pain of the process, and the pain of the process is huge. And if there's a dad in the home, calling dad into the process by saying, I think you need to take Roby to do this, and I think you need to take Roby, and you and Roby go, when in reality, you didn't really mean it. You just know it. It's supposed to happen. He's supposed to be coming more into the male club, mm-hmm. and she's supposed to be letting go, even though every bit of his heart wants him back on that umbilical cord, every bit of it, because he is the baby boy of her life. It's mm-hmm. more painful than anybody could imagine. Mm-hmm. And Dad doesn't go through this kind of pain.
Why?
I don't know why. I went through the pain, and it's interesting for both of us in this, because I think I went through a mild depression when my last child went to college. And even somebody in October, I walked by something that reminded me of Roby, and I can't remember when it was. And he was our last one to go out the door. I was painful when Tori went out the door. I mean, so painful we got lost on the way home in Kentucky as we dropped her off, and actually got so lost driving. We were on a dirt road, and a guy on a barge had to take us across a river with a pole. And I'm thinking, where are we in Kentucky? We got so far off. Do you remember this?
Oh, I do.
Because I was crying so hard, I missed all the signs. It was bizarre.
And Roby was rolling his eyes in the back seat, like, what is wrong with my parents?
Yeah.
Little did he know, 4 years later, we're going to be the same
when he
boat
was standing
with him.
Outside the sign at the opening of the campus of Taylor University, waving as I'm looking in the rearview mirror and I'm dropping my last child off. I was in incredible pain for about a month.
Wow.
And then it occurred to me, I own my home and my wife, and we can do whatever we want. And
something clicked.
Well, it did click, and we don't have to wear all our clothes all the time anymore. No. Life is awesome. We're dating again.
Okay.
That was incredible. But wow, it stayed a long time for Rosemary, and dropping off her daughter, who called all the time anyway, and her boy child, who didn't call any of the time anyway. It was a very different, mm-hmm. painful process for you. For me, it was pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
When he came home, and it's awesome, and we have a different relationship today. Again, he's my best friend and one of my major advisors. I'm actually doing an offsite for Sheridan House this Friday, and he's leading the offsite on where he thinks Sheridan House needs to go next. So it's different, but the pain just kind of escalates for a mom. This is, however, the right thing, the emancipation process. I don't think anybody talks to us about it. I don't think anybody prepares mom for it. You're raising him to leave you completely, and you're raising him to launch into the arms of another woman.
And still, for the rest of your life, Lord willing, have that close, almost emotional bond, yet he's totally man, totally separated, but there still is that warmth when you come together. You just want that to happen more often, and it's
exactly.
not.
Right?
And it's not the same bond, though. I'm not sure I'm there on that, and you need to weigh in. It's a different bond. She was the number one female in his life.
His wife.
And for that, to have that great relationship, that mother-son, I mean, their relationship was so tight that when he was a junior in high school and it was time to buy Rosemary a new car, the car that she bought was the car of his dreams. And she didn't even know what it was. We're sitting at the table, and I say, hey, I'm getting ready to get a car. I have a friend at the Pontiac dealership. We're going to get you a Pontiac. Do you have any idea what you want? I'm thinking a Bonneville or some, you know, big four-door car for her. And she says, I know what I want. It's a Grand Prix GT. That's what it's called, isn't it, Roby? And I'm sitting there thinking, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. And that's the moment I thought, these two are dating. What is this? And that's the car she got. And that's the car she drove. And that's the car he drove off to high school. There was this great, healthy, awesome relationship as her being his prayer support, her being really a great spiritual advisor in his life. And I played a different role of decision. She played a different role of prayer. But I still play that role. She doesn't play that role anymore. And nor should she play that role. It's perfect.
I think it's a work in progress. I really do. I think that the decision that, it's going to be very painful, but yes, it's right. Yes, it's biblical. And accepting it. And then working in a way that you are not interfering between his main woman, which is his wife, and yet being available for prayer, for available for that warm time mm-hmm. with him. But it's going to be different, and it's just a fact of life that it will be different. But working with it and seeing exactly how I can maintain a close relationship with him without having to be, battle with the most important woman in his life, which is his wife.
Well, I think you just gave the greatest statement of all in all this. The way to get to him is her. And the way to get to him in a positive way is to love her and listen to her and not try to boss her and not try to do anything with her and listen. I mean, you were on the phone with Rebecca today as you and Rebecca planned something. And, you know, Rebecca's awesome. And so, Rebecca, what do you think? How should we do this? Great, I'm in. Let's do it. I think that as his wife becomes and as they become, it says one flesh, as they become one person, when the first woman of young husband's life becomes totally submissive to the new woman in his life and not try to say, you know, well, this is what he likes and this is what he wants, right. And gets out completely and basically says to his wife, how can I help? How can I help? How can I help? And if she asks, well, what, Roby, or my, your son likes this, or leave it alone. Mm-hmm. And let it go and let the wife be the total lead and all you are is the backup, then it continues to get better and better and better. As it should be.
And that will open the door for a comfortable daughter-in-law to come with the perspective of we are the two women in this world that love him the most. So how can the wife then is comfortable to come to mom. But if she's interfering and trying to boss and say, well, he really likes this, not that. Or, you know, that's his favorite meal rather than allowing her cooking to be.
My meatloaf is his favorite meal.
Right. That kind of thing.
I know you'll never be able to make my meatloaf.
And that's such a silly surface thing, but it's not. It's subliminal.
It's not, right.
And so being, you know, on the same page with daughter-in-law is, I agree with you, Bob, that it is the best way to love him at this stage of life. I really do.
You know, here's a perfect example of this. When I was finishing up an interim, the church was wanting to do something for me. So they called over here to Benetta, my administrative assistant, and said, we want to do something for Bob. I want to get him something just to show him we love him and we thank him. What can we get him? And Benetta said, the greatest way to love Bob is love Rosemary. So let me find out what you can get Rosemary. The greatest way to love your son is love his wife. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you make life miserable. And there may be times when the mother has to actually say to her son, you're coming over here a little too much. It pains me to say that, but I need to say that to you.
Wow.
You're coming over here a little too much. If you really love your son and you really want your son's marriage to succeed, you continue to push him back to his marriage and back to his marriage. And you continue to support his wife. And there will be maybe, perhaps, times when you support his wife in conflict with him, when you support his wife and tell him your wife is right here. Now go home. When you want to say, of course, darling, you're always right in everything you are, you're going to hurt him in the long run. And it's very subversive. The greatest thing a mom can do is support his marriage by supporting his wife. It's so pivotal and so key. Mm-hmm. You want to emancipate him from you so he comes back as a friend, not still a son. Mm-hmm. Comes back as a man, comes back as an advisor. It's so, so key. And so a mom of this child who's going out the door, whose child that's married and child's been married a long time, am I helping his marriage? Mm-hmm. Am I making his wife say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And especially if maybe you don't like your daughter-in-law or there's problems there or, you know, you just don't agree with the scenario. Right. How can you still be a good mom by promoting that, even though you have your own opinions.
You choose to like her.
Right.
And keep your slow to speak and slow to get angry and quick to listen. I think the whole like word, she's set up not to like his new wife.
Of course.
Period.
Right.
How could she ever cook for him? How could she ever do all the things I did for him? She doesn't even know him. I knew him before he was a him. Yes. And so I think we have to choose to like. You know, there's some things in life I don't like, but I choose to like. And like is irrelevant. You have to choose to love. I can't imagine how many times in life Jesus always loves me, but probably doesn't like me because of some attitude I've got going. You choose to love. It's so important. Mm-hmm. She has a massive impact on the success of his future by choosing to side with his wife over him because she's siding with his marriage.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host, and we're wrapping up this topic of mothers and sons today. If you missed any of the previous programs from this week and you want to hear more, they're online at parentingtoday.org. You can play them right off the internet or even sign up to get the daily email blog that corresponds with the broadcast. And then, of course, that automatically comes into your email box. You can hear everyone in the upcoming days and weeks ahead as well. That's, again, online at parentingtoday.org. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, support the ministry financially if you are blessed by this program, or even find out about the many resources available at the ministry, that's online as well at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we hope you'll join us next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.